Welcome to Stories from Chosun, the audio version of the House of Chosun blog posts, available at chosunhouse.com. Today, When Peace Comes. I dedicate this article to my brothers and sisters in North Korea, who suffer unimaginably as I write and as I speak. For them, that is, the believers in Christ, the subject of this piece is incredibly delicious. Oh, that all of God's people could think it so. Most people get to Revelation 21 and 22 and take a deep breath. No more vials, no more trumpets, no more seals, no more monsters. Smooth sailing. And that's mostly true, but one of the biggest puzzles for me is the timing of this bit of prophecy. When will arrive the new heavens and the new earth? Peter, in his epistle, sees it coming directly after the present age. The prophets likewise see a time of worldwide peace directed by the Jewish Messiah at the end of the present era. Now, I lean that direction, too, for those reasons, and others I will mention. But if that is true, then the Bible nowhere speaks of what eternity will be like. And if that's true, chapters 21 and 22 are out of order. They go back before chapter 20, which brings readers not only to, but through and after the millennium. And if that's true, the last recorded event in chronological time is the vanishing of heavens and earth, followed by the judgment of the damned in the lake of fire. And if that's true, the new heavens and the new earth are merely a healed planet, not a brand new creation as in Genesis 1. Whether the magnificent descriptions of the last two of the Bible's chapters are the millennium or the period following it, one must admit that the Bible does not spend much time talking about things that are so very far away. We will have, after all, 1,000 years to hear about the plan for the next phase of our existence. Truly, it's not entered into our mind, the things God has prepared for us. But I was saying I tend to agree with the millennial interpretation here. The phrases used are very reminiscent of prophets like Isaiah. Things that happen are very this-worldly. Kings and nations are mentioned, nations that are slowly being healed from the ravages of the governments of men. And very significantly, even though Jesus has everything under control, there is still the potential for evil, as ordinary men live on into this time period. Our city is indeed holy and wonderful, but the whole world is not fully aligned to these things. All of this points away, I think, from an interpretation that says that these two chapters are about eternity. The setup in that day will be much as Rome dreamed it was going to be hundreds of years back. Their timing was a little off. There shall indeed be a world empire ruled by the church, but it will be the glorified church, descending from heaven with Christ at the helm, not a military-based empire with a mere human at the head. At the end of the 1,000 years, the evil potential is gathered together for one last assault against the righteousness enthroned in Jerusalem. Christ is victorious, and now it's time to move on to places as yet unspoken to human ears. What an adventure awaits us! Let's put all things away from our lives that do not matter, so as to be sure not to miss what will surely come our way. Never have God's promises failed, even when we did not fully understand them. They will not fail now. Thank you for your listening. Visit us at chosunhouse.com for more information about North Korea and about the scriptures. Be sure to check the sermon audio site that you're listening to for more of both also, and go to ezinearticles.com if you prefer small doses of these truths. North Korea needs Jesus and His Word, and so do we. Let's pray that God will have His way there and here and in our hearts. Amen.